All right, we finally ganged up ready to have church, right? Good song service today. I thought about, you know, sitting there thinking about foggy outside and drizzly and damp. Somebody even said it was cold. I don't know. But I thought about the good energy, the good spirit inside. It's not leaking on anybody, right? So we're in good shape, you know, and the heater's working real well in some places. Other people wrapped up blankets. But anyway, we'll just worship and praise the Lord today. I got a few verses of scripture I want to share with you. Think about these kids up here, young girls and boys up here singing, "Yes, Jesus loves me." Boy, they got it right. Amen. They got it exactly right. "Yes, Jesus loves me." You know, and I think about they start out singing that, and as they get older, they'll understand more about it. "Yes, Jesus loves me." Everybody in the house could stand up and say that. If he didn't love you, you might not have made it today. You might have been cast aside somewhere, you know, but he loves you. Let's look at a few verses of scripture. I want to talk about promises of God today. I'm going to talk about future, and I'm going to talk about eternal life and the promise of that. You know, we have that through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his dying on the cross of Calvary. You've got the promise of eternal life. And then there's things in eternal life that Jesus says we're going to have. But I also want to touch on the life that we have now. I mean, we've got to get to that point, right? You know, we've got to get from point A to point B, which is eternal life. And I think God also intends for us to have a better life here. And I can show you, according to the Word of God, that he says we'd have life and have it more abundantly. How many of y'all would like to have more abundant life? Everybody here ought to stuck their hands up in there and said, "I want more abundant life." Amen. I like it good, don't y'all? You know, I told a man a while back, and he said, "I wish we were back in the old time." I'm telling you, I don't want to go to the creek and wash my clothes, do y'all? I like it when I flip a switch and the lights come on. I think that's the grandest thing in the world, you know. Go to bed at night and not the cover, don't freeze over you from being so cold. You know, he's talking about the old time. And I thought, you can just go back there if you want to, but I think I'll stay where I'm at. He was talking about, "Oh, we went to the well and dug, got our water." You know, and he also mentioned he went out to the outhouse, you know, every night. And I thought, I'll just keep my inside plumbing. Amen. Amen. But we can still stay in old times according to the Word of God. Let's look, if you will, in St. John. If you'll turn with me. St. John chapter 14. When we start thinking about these things, you know, there's a lot of turmoil goes on in everybody's life. And, you know, if I went through this congregation today and you'd stand up and tell the truth and confess it, you probably got some kind of problem or trouble or something going on in your life that you wish was different. Well, God understands these things. You know, faith gets us through it. It just don't make it easy. Amen? Everybody understand that? Faith gets you through it. It's just not always easy. St. John chapter 14, verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You know, if we didn't preach anything else today but that first verse about "let not your heart be troubled." You know, the trouble and turmoil and the problems I see all through life and all the community and all the county, everywhere you go. And God's telling us that, you know, "let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." That's the word of Jesus. So we start talking about a promise that we don't have to go through life troubled and upset and stressed out about everything. God gives us peace. We'll read that in a little while too. In verse 2 it said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So the promise of God about eternal life. We're talking about the life after this one. You know, I'm still here, but I've got that promise from God that he's there and he's preparing for me a mansion. I've never lived in a mansion. I'll probably get used to it though. Amen. You know, it'll be an upgrade, I guarantee you. I mean, I'm thankful for the house we live in, but it's not near like I'm going to live in heaven. And I think I can get used to it, you know. Every time I get an upgrade or an increase, I get used to it, you know. It can come on. And when I thought about this promise that he gave, and a lot of times we hinge and we hold on to that promise about eternal life. Amen. I'm thankful to God that I've got the eternal life and the promise of a mansion in heaven. Have any of y'all thought about living in a mansion? Hey, praise the Lord. I mean, a lot of people here in God's pretty nice places, but I don't believe it's going to be a comparison to what God has prepared for us in heaven. And, you know, it's hard to imagine what all we're going to have. And we start talking about these promises. And so let's look back just a few minutes, if you'll turn back with me, to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at this word. I want to talk about some things in this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You turn there with me. I'm going to read verse 9 and 10 and maybe 11 and 12. I don't know how far it'll go. Let's just read till we get kind of caught up with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm just letting you practice turning your Bibles. Everybody needs practice. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We used to have sword drills. Y'all ever done a sword drill? I never was worth a garbage at it. I never did win one. There'd be some little girl just blow us away every time, you know. Girls. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So I want you to notice the qualification. You know, we was talking about a minute ago that he's gone away. He's preparing mansions in heaven. And it comes down to a qualification. And what does it say? For them that love him. Now, that's the key to this whole thing right down the bottom of this verse. Do we truly love Jesus? Do we love God with all of our heart? Do we love Jesus with all of our heart? And that's what it's talking about. It said that, you know, we can't, the eye had not seen or ear heard or entered into the heart of man the things. So that's why I can't describe this mansion that God has prepared for me and also God has prepared for you if you love him. Now, you think about that, you know, qualification. And I got to think about this last night. You know, if you truly love somebody, you don't usually do things just to on purpose hurt them, do you? I mean, even at best, every now and then, you'll do something that will kind of hurt or kind of sting a little bit. You know, by accident, maybe. Every now and then, us husband will say a wrong word, you know, and hurt a little bit. But if we thought about it, we don't do it on purpose. And I believe if you truly love Jesus, you don't hurt him on purpose. I think that goes without saying. And so we're looking at the qualification. In verse 10 it said, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And so we know that our spirit is in contact with the Spirit of God. You know, it's when the Spirit of God makes contact with our spirit. You know, it's a wonderful thing. It said that if we're going to worship God, we must worship him in spirit and truth because he is a spirit. And so when we start dealing with God, we have to continue, understand and comprehend that we're going to deal in the spirit. Have y'all ever had a time when you got down to pray and you know, I mean, you just know that you've gotten contact with God? Because his spirit has contacted your spirit. You know, I'd like to claim that I always pray that way, but don't always happen. Because sometimes I pray amiss. Amen, I'm too human. Sometimes I want things that God don't want me to have. Amen. Sometimes I want to see things happen that's not God's plan. And those times, you don't have that special feeling, that spirit contact in the Spirit of God. Those times like when, before you pray, he's answered it. Before you get up, he's answered it. He's always, do y'all know the feeling I'm talking about? Isn't that a special feeling when you know that God's heard and you know that you've prayed in the will of God and you know that he's going to take care of it? He talks about praying and being in the Spirit. It said in verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. It said, for we have received not, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And so here we go, another problem. Things that are freely given don't cost you anything. God wants to do it. And it's talking about in the Spirit. In verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are not spiritually discerned. If we're going to worship God, we're going to do it in spirit and truth, according to the Word of God. That's what it is, that when God's Spirit communes with our spirit, and you know that it's God touching, you know it's God speaking, thank God for those times in life. Let's go back over, if you would, St. John. St. John chapter 14 and verse 4. In verse 4, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. A statement made by the Lord Jesus himself. You know, I'd dare to say that probably everybody in here knows the way, that it's through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ without a doubt. He's talking about that access into eternal life in heaven where the mansions are prepared. Also, we're going to talk before it's over about the life that we live on this earth, getting from point A to point B. I mean, we've got to travel that route. We've got to get there. I'd rather go the easy road, hadn't y'all? The easy route's through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The easy route's the straight and narrow, whether you understand it or not. So when we get into this, in verse 5, here's Thomas. You know, he's known as Doubting Thomas because, you know, several times. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? How can we know the way? And I thought, you know, here's Thomas. Okay, he's going to doubt. He's not understanding because he's in the flesh. He's not thinking in the spirit. That spirit of God would reveal to him the things that were prepared. And I don't think Thomas was in the spirit of God. I think he's in the flesh, in the spirit of the world when he asked that question. Anybody that has to ask says we don't know the way, you're not in the spirit of God because that spirit would reveal to you Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. In verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. I think how he babied these disciples and all these people around him. Have y'all ever thought about Jesus? Probably thought, they're dumber than a sack of rocks. They just don't get it. You know, a lot of times they didn't get it. But understand this, in their defense, they wasn't saved yet. Jesus hadn't died. Grace is not yet. They're under the law. There's a lot of dumbness went on under the law. I mean, people were so religious and so bound by religion that they couldn't accept the truth. You know, that went on for a long time. And so here they are, you know, Thomas saying, how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so if we're going to go to God, we're going to go through Jesus. You want to know the other side of that? I thought about this last night. You know, he said, you can't come to the Father except by me. And that's Jesus speaking. And then if you think about it, in St. John 6 and 44, I believe it said, no man can come to me, Jesus, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up to last day. And so we have the drawing power of God through Jesus, and we have the drawing power of Jesus through God. Both of them. You can't get to God without Jesus. You can't get to Jesus without God. Does that sound pretty good? And so you're going to have those two in your life if you're going to make it to this mansion that I'm talking about that's prepared. God's got a place prepared for you. It'll be better than you've ever had. I don't have no doubt in that. It'll be more glamorous, more luxurious. You'll not have a need, not have a desire, not have a want, because God will be taking care of all that. In St. Matthew, let's look back just a minute. St. Matthew, let's talk about the other side of this. Let me turn back there just for a minute. If I can get to it. St. Matthew chapter 11. St. Matthew chapter 11. Now, we're talking about what God can do for the future, for eternal life. We're talking about what Jesus has planned and what he's preparing for eternal life. Now, let's talk about what he's prepared for today and tomorrow and next week and next month. This is not a promise of eternal life. This is a promise of a better life. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, have y'all ever thought about just what it is to rest? You ever worked a real hard day and go in and just got time to sit down just a minute and just rest? It's worth something, isn't it? And now, you know, I know we have the promise of eternal life. I know we have the mansions in heaven he's preparing or already prepared. We're just waiting to receive them. But now he's talking about today. He's talking about today. You ever think about what Jesus can do for you today? He can give you rest. Come unto me. But what do you got to do? You got to come to Jesus. Got to come to Jesus. Without him, you won't get it. It said in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. It's a good thing to have rest for your soul, be able to lay down and go to sleep at night. You know, without a bad conscience. With knowing that if something happens to you before you wake up the next morning, God's got it. God's got it. In verse 30, it said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I want to spend just a minute and make a statement on that. I hear a lot of people talk about how hard it is to live a Christian life. I fully disagree. I disagree with that. They're just trying to make it hard. It's not hard to worship a God that made you. It's not hard to praise a God that blessed you in life with so many things and gave you the promise of eternal life. It's not hard to take this yoke upon us, and that's the yoke that Jesus talks about of the cross. St. John chapter 10, verse 1. Let's look over there just very quickly. St. John chapter 10. And I'll start in verse 1. I like this comparison that Jesus used to the shepherd and to the porter and to the sheep, you know. I just love this, to think that I'm in a pasture of God's sheep. Y'all ever thought about that? That's a wonderful thing to think about, isn't it, that God's in control. St. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. You got that? Thief and a robber, if you come any way except the door. And that's Jesus. In verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, because for they know his voice. I like that thought about knowing the voice of God, knowing the voice of Jesus. You know, when I was talking about a minute ago, when you get down and pray and you know that you just know it's took care of, because your spirit and God's spirit is met together, and he's gave you a refreshing feeling that you know this is took care of. And I think about knowing that voice of Jesus. He called me one day. I didn't have to say, who art thou, Lord? I knew who it was. I knew who it was. I believe he's got a voice that everybody can recognize if you're in that spirit and under that drawing power of the Holy Ghost drawing you to him. You'll know who he is. In verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And so Jesus has got a specific voice. It's not just a run-of-the-mill. It's not a recording thing. He's got a voice. I want to go over just a little bit farther in verse 10. In verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. You got the word? Abundantly. You know, that's what I said when we began it. Wouldn't everybody here like to have a more abundant life? I'm not talking just being filthy rich. I'm talking about abundant in the Spirit of God. A greater abundance in that connection and that closeness with the church. Abundantly. And that's what God is promising through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Jesus. He said, I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I'm all about that abundant life. I like it, don't y'all? That you can be closer with God. You can be more involved in the church. You can be closer with the sons and daughters of God. Acts chapter 4, and I think I'll close with this. And now in closing, let me make that statement to get you woke up. Y'all ain't never noticed that before? Y'all are not up here looking back. Amen. Sometimes I'm up here looking back and you catch somebody just nearly dozed off, you know. And you can say, and now in closing, boy, they'll perk up every time. You get their attention. See, everybody's looking up here. You ready to close, right? Let me try it again. And now in closing, amen, here we go. And now in closing, Acts chapter 4. And I'll start in verse 10, Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. I'll tell you, leading up to this, there'd been a healing. I'm talking about a lame man been healed, been lame all his life. Jesus healed him. He got up and he's walking through the temple and he's shouting and praising God. Peter and John was there and saw it, but it was the healing power of Jesus. It wasn't the healing power of Peter or John. It was the healing power of Jesus. And you know, I preached last week that same healing power of Jesus is the same power that saves you. That salvation power and that healing power, same thing. It's all of Jesus. And so when there'd been a healing and there'd been a big conversation about this man being healed, in verse 10 it said, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." And so they give the credit to Jesus. This is after the crucifixion. It's after the resurrection of Jesus. And thank God, these folks are saved then, and they've got the truth. I mean, the Holy Spirit dealing with them and teaching them each and every day, I believe. This verse 11, "This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders, which has become the head of the corner." In verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, when I preach Jesus, that's the only way. When Jesus is preached, a lot of people say, "Well, you could do it this way, you could do it that way." I'm telling you, it said, "Neither is there salvation in any other." So if you're going to have salvation, guess who it's going to be through? It's going to be through Jesus, this shepherd of the sheep, this one that keeps the fold, this one that keeps the door, this one that we know his name, this one we know his voice. I hope you've got that closeness with Jesus that when he speaks, you know who it is. You understand it, Beth? Musicians. What's the page number? 385 down at the bottom. Beth's going to sing, God's going to call. Y'all have heard that? Yeah, Beth's going to sing, but it'll be God calling. It'll be the voice of Jesus that you might hear in your heart saying, "Well, I don't have Jesus, and I need that salvation. I want that promise." Y'all stand, if you would.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me.
Jesus calling. You know his name, you know his voice.
Called me one day. I'm so thankful for that call and that voice that came and that spirit that connected. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Maybe a little bit damp and cool and cloudy and foggy outside, but I thank God for a good energy and good spirit in the church today. Amen. Hope everybody's got it right with God. One of the worst fears I have as a pastor is that I'll get to heaven one day and you won't be there. Stand it. Can't stand the thoughts of it. I'll always worry, where did I fail? Where did I go wrong? Of course, I can't save anybody, but God can. I don't know if y'all ever think about that or not, but as a pastor, I do. I'd hate to get there one day and not see you. Because I'm going. I told him a while back, was talking about staying here as a pastor. I said, well, don't matter. I'm going to die one of these days. I'm going to be in heaven. I'll be up there forever. So get used to me. All right.